Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Childcare Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johns here with Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
And Kristen Peterson.
Hey, hey, hey.
Kristen's here to talk to us about what life is like in her preschool program in the times of COVID. Everybody masked up, living in hula hoops, social distancing. What's happening in Minnesota?
Oh, yes. All of those things. No, not at all. So childcare regulations in Minnesota, luckily, have not enforced social distancing.
Good.
It's recommended to figure out ways to socially distance the children and the teachers, but it's a recommendation, and that is the word that is used, thank God, by my licensor, because she knows child development. She knows what it's like to be in a preschool program, in a childcare center. She gets it. So we are very lucky that we don't have to enforce all of these yucky things, and neither do our elementary schools in our town. So kids are near each other, and they're in the elementary schools, they're wearing masks. However, at our preschool program in Minnesota, it's 5 and under don't have to wear masks in public spaces. So and also with teachers, there's some gray areas too, you know, because they want you to be able, kids to be able to see your mouth forming words and things like that. So there's points of the day where you don't have to wear a mask. But we're in a nature program, so we spend a lot of time outside anyway. So our teachers don't have to wear masks outside. So yeah, nobody's masked. Parents aren't allowed all the way in the space yet. We let them in the entryways to, you know, drop off and pick up. And of course, sanitizing the crap out of everything. And what else are we doing? Oh, we did have to make like a temporary wall in between our two spaces because we have a large group. So we're licensed for 40 in one space. And so in order to kind of keep that number down so that there's not as many kids around each other, we split our room into two using shelves and pegboard, and like we just got really creative with it. And
did you use any of those giant milk jug blocks you made?
No, but I did think of it actually, because that would have been free.
It would have been great.
I'm going to start to stink after a while, probably. So, and then we ordered like a sink. Minnesota has actually been great as far as giving childcare centers money. So we actually got $25,000 from the state.
Wow.
For making anything happen that we need to make happen in order to keep staff and children healthy. So we ordered like a $2,000 sink, one of those
portable guys.
Sinks. Yeah. Yes, for one side. And we still combine at the beginning and the end of the day because we have to go down in staff, of course, because they can't all stay there 10 hours a day. So it's been great. I am having trouble like hearing all of the other things that are going on in all the other states. It breaks my heart, as I'm sure it does your guys' too. And I do. I get like lots of messages, and I'm sure you guys do too, about like, oh my gosh, our program is making us do this. Like, how can I be a developmentally appropriate program when they're in hula hoops or when they're in masking tape squares or when I have to completely tell them, like, you can't stay away from each other? It seriously breaks my heart. And I know, at least I know you wrote this somewhere, said this somewhere, that you need to know where your bottom line is. Like, what's your bottom line for this pandemic? And mine is that, like, if it comes to the point where they say you can't have these children near each other, our program will close. It's not okay. And I'm probably very privileged where I can do that, where I can say, I'm going to close. And I admit that.
Yeah.
But that's my bottom line.
I also know, though, that you have a really strong relationship with your families that probably before you made that decision to close, my guess of what I know about you is that you would sit down with as many who could show up via Zoom or in person and be like, guys, we have a decision to make. This is what is now being mandated, which I appreciate what you said earlier about a recommendation versus a mandate, because they're two entirely different things.
Yes.
And back in May, that's what everybody was spiraling out of control about, because they were assuming, too many people were, that recommendations were mandates. So, but that's a whole other conversation. I can imagine you in my mind's eye sitting down with your families and being like, here's the thing. This is going to be in violation. I'm willing to stay open if... Right? You know, like, but if you're not comfortable, then this is the decision that I'm going to have to make. So let's have a conversation about that.
Yep.
But that I'm not willing to do X, Y, or Z.
No, I can't. These teachers that are, or caregivers that are forced to do these things because they need a paycheck, I would not take the paycheck. Like, but that is me. And my privilege. And it's hard for a lot of people.
How long have you been open under these conditions? Did you close down at all, or?
Yeah, we did right away when all of the schools closed down. We did. I mean, I think there was many programs that did, just because there was not direction. We had no idea what was going on.
Just to recalibrate almost, right? Just to like figure it out.
Yeah. So we closed from mid-March until May. And then we did a soft reopen in May to see how many families would start back up. And we only had 7 that started back up in May out of 45. And then in June, we started with our full-on summer programming, and we did lose a bunch of families, but we pivoted and ended up opening a school-age program, doing full-time school-age care this summer so that we could meet the needs of families and still pull in the income that we had lost.
Families, because their parents weren't working or because okay.
Yeah. All of the above. We had lots of like medical professionals who had kids in our program. They just didn't feel right sending their kids to our program when they are high. They don't necessarily need parents, stay-at-home moms whose husbands are doctors or vice versa, where their kids didn't necessarily need to be there for childcare. So they felt guilty sending their kids. Knowing that they are being exposed to COVID and then could pass it on. So,
since you reopened, how many kids have you had come down with COVID?
0.
Okay.
No teachers either.
That's because all your families because all your families, the only place those kids go is your place and home.
Well, no.
No. Oh, you know, they're out there living their lives and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure we got some evidence. Yeah, I mean.
The hard part is that, and every program is dealing with this, the kids can't come if they have a runny nose, or if they have, you know, you got to have these poor little kids, if they have a runny nose and a little cough, either tested for COVID or sent to the doctor to say it's something else and they can be at school. So it's kind of just, it's crazy.
So how are parents pretty cool with the way things are going, or were there parents that wanted things more restrictive, or
no? Nope. We No, we have not had any parents say, they're not sitting 6 feet apart. We've not have had none of that. We, and even like teachers, like no teachers who are saying we need to be more strict. No, there's been none of that. I thought of something and maybe something I'll spark my memory, but I thought of something that was important that I was going to say and now I can't think of it.
Well, along these lines of just the whole reopening and education things here in Iowa, where I am, our school district opened up a kind of half and half. It was a couple days online, a couple days in person. I don't remember how many of which for about the first 3 weeks. And then just after, what's that holiday that just happened? Labor Day. Yeah. After that holiday, they went back to in-person full time. Now they're still running online for families who want that because they don't want to send their kids, but most of them are back, requiring masks. I walked by a school the other day with the hounds and there were a bunch of kindergartners running around the playground with masks on. And I got to say,
patches on. Pirate eye patches.
Yeah, right. No, I mean they're wearing them. It's disconcerting to me to see kids running around wearing masks, especially outside when there's no evidence that you should be wearing masks outside at a playground or outside a bit. But whatever, they're doing it. So I was actually kind of concerned they were gonna. Wimp out and go back to all online, but things are being fine. And I was looking at some numbers yesterday across the country, schools that are reopening are seeing no rise in infections that are caused.
Our school district is, unfortunately. So we all in our community feel like it's all going to get shut down here within the next couple of weeks.
Well, it's because, I mean, we're living in a world of fear and what the media reports is number of cases, but not the number of hospitalizations and deaths, because those across the country are plummeting. They really are. But it's fun to have people scared, I guess. I don't know. Ugh,
it's exhausting.
What's Florida like, Lisa?
Yeah.
No.
Should I come visit Florida?
You can. It's actually the ideal time to come visit the park right now, actually. You know, you can actually get shit done when there's only 2,000 people instead of 45,000 people.
Yeah. That's one place we want to bring our kids this winter is down to Florida to do shelling and all that kind of stuff.
Don't go to the mouse house.
The schools offer the same as like what you guys, you have the option, you know, if you want to do hybrid or you want to go back full time or you want to be online full time. Pablo's boys are older, so you know I'm a little bit involved with what I hear maybe on the news, just if it's impacting their school at all. They were watching after Labor Day, you know, to see if there was a spike and everything, and our restaurants just opened full capacity. We've been a little slower on the uptake just because, you know, Florida.
Yeah. Well, Minnesota is still, I'm involved in the theater and we're doing a production of Steel Magnolias in a couple weeks, but we can only sell 25% capacity. So we can only have 80 people at each show. So we're still like, and restaurants are still at 50% capacity. So it's still really restrictive here. I know what I was going to say now. I was going to circle back to like, what's life like at the preschool? And I know a lot of programs are having to like, maybe not having to, but choosing to, and I don't know if this is mandated or not, but they have to have like separate sensory bins and separate Play-Doh and separate everything. We aren't having separate everything.
Some of that is how recommendation has been incorrectly interpreted.
Yeah. Right? So like the personal sensory bins and the personal Play-Doh bins and we are community Play-Doh still, and we are community sensory table still, and community cutting pool still, and so
when it comes to that kind of stuff though, there are licensors who are pushing towards that kind of thing anyway. I mean, I remember years ago talking to some providers in California who had a licensor that wanted them to drain the water play table one child at a time. You had to drain it and clean it between children. So I mean, those people have always been out there. And
well, I said this, I don't remember, a couple weeks ago. I feel like I have like 12 main COVID points that I've been like beating to death since I started feeling comfortable, you know, talking about it. But we were, I think the childcare industry was on the fast track of already being germophobic, like to an extreme.
Yeah.
Even before this happened, you know, and I distinctly remember I was standing in one childcare center. It was a three, four, five-year-old classroom. And just for kicks and giggles, I was like setting, well, I had my phone, and I was timing how long the kids were spending washing their hands, you know, washing their hands before they had snack, washing their hands after snack, washing their hands before they went to the sensory tub, washing their hands after they were in the sensory tub, wash. I'm like, they're spending the entire freaking day washing their hands, you know, and that's crazy. You know, and even before Balance and Barefoot came out, we all kind of knew in our gut that it was somewhat healthy to be barefoot in the dirt every now and again, you know, and I was worried that we were, you know, and I, you know, you never want to be taken out of context to where you're implying that like kids shouldn't just have general basic cleanliness, hygiene, you know, like nobody's saying that, but we were overly.
Lisa Murphy wants the kids to be nasty.
Right? Lisa Murphy says we don't have to wash our hands. That's not what Lisa Murphy said. But Lisa Murphy did, you know, does know the value of, you know, you fall down and put some dirt on it and, you know, you're not going to die. I don't know. I just thought we were already on the fast track. And this, I was worried, was just going to exacerbate it and make it worse. But the other thing, though, is that I do believe that some of this COVID stuff, that sounds horrible, but I think it's shining a light on conversations that were that we needed to have in our field anyway, about how far we've drifted from DAP, about how far we've drifted away from the importance of being outside, you know, how far we moved away from some of those core beliefs that we all say we believe in, but now we're really coming face to face with just how far we moved away from actually putting into practice what we say we believe in. So, you know, I would never have wished a pandemic for those conversations to happen, but if it does mean that they're happening, then you know what? I'm glad for that.
Definitely. Same. Why are you laughing?
This is good podcast. Because he wasn't sure if he was going to wrap it up or be a dick and throw something in there that's the complete opposite.
I totally agree. No, I'm trying not to be a dick. I'm not going to be a dick. I'll tell you when we stop recording. it's a weird world we're living in. And I'm glad I'm not doing direct care right now because I don't know if I'd be able to suffer through it. And more power to everybody that's out there doing it, I guess. I appreciate it. If you're not being told by families, they appreciate it and it's much needed. And hopefully you can get your programs back to some semblance of normal in some fairly short order. But the hard thing I'm having dealing with this right now is I don't know what the end game is. Nobody seems to know what the end game is. And so I have a really hard time conforming to somebody's wishes for me when I don't know what the purpose is. You know, when we were back in the spring and it was, okay, we're going to social distance for a couple of weeks and we're going to flatten the curve. Okay, fine. I'm not really social in the first place. So easy doing that. Now nobody can tell me what the end game is. And so it really leaves me feeling it is people enjoying a little bit of power they have over other people and wanting to keep a hold of that. And that's probably not the only reason, but I've dealt with enough bureaucracy in my life to know it is certainly a part of the reason, even if people don't want to admit it, huh? Or am I alone?
Well, and it's sad if, you know, that's trickling down then to our little kids, and I'm doing everything I can to protect that and keep their childhood full of wonder.
Yeah. So. Well, I was actually thinking what if you were planning on opening a center? Like, what if this was your year and you were like, I'm doing it? Like, at what point do you just go, screw it? Like, just here it comes. Let's just do it and let's figure it out.
Oh, you know, you guys should, maybe you already have, interview Annie Friday about that, because she just started a program like 3 weeks ago and messaged me and was like, oh my gosh. Because
I put out this weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I was actually Zooming with a provider in Nebraska a couple of weeks ago that just opened her program this spring. So yeah. Yeah. And she's got the, most of her kids are the children of nurses. And so she's been full and
right.
actually working out, and it's family based. And, but yeah, it was a bit of a adventure, I guess we'll call it, to
well,
get
and
going.
We have plans to expand and move to a different location, and everything kind of just got put on hold for us because we really haven't, like, we no clue what's going to happen. You never know, like, if everything gets shut down again, or if we have an outbreak in the center, or there's so many unknowns and there's so many things. We're just trying to save up all the money so that in case we have an in case pile right now. And so it's kind of taken a turn to just being steady instead of trying to grow at this point.
Yep. It's all we can do. Well, should we wrap this one up? I know Kristen's got an appointment to get to in a little bit. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. On behalf of Lisa Murphy and Kristen, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.